Well, the Edmonton Oilers lose again. And I've got a massive bone to pick. Let's get into it on today's episode of Locked On Oilers.
Your Locked On Oilers, your daily podcast on the Edmonton Oilers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome back to the Locked On Oilers podcast. I'm your host and former Oilers game day producer, Brett Holden. As mentioned on today's episode, we're going to talk about the third straight loss from the Edmonton Oilers. It wasn't a pretty one, and I have a lot to say from that game. I also have a lot to say about the Edmonton Oilers penalty kill, as we will talk about the Edmonton Oilers penalty killing woes in the second period of today's episode. And of course, after every game, we go through the good, the bad, and the ugly from the game against the Washington Capitals as the Edmonton Oilers lose 5-4. Thank you so much for making Locked On Oilers your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you find your podcast. Alrighty, let's get into the loss for the Edmonton Oilers against those Washington Capitals. Not a lot went right for the Edmonton Oilers as they were entering Connor McDavid's 500th game in the NHL, hoping to make it some sort of memorable. And hopefully now after that one, the Edmonton Oilers are going to forget about it. As the Edmonton Oilers gave up four power play goals to the Washington Capitals. That's the same amount of power play goals that Alexander Ovechkin had heading into the game on the power play already this season. Not to mention Alexander Ovechkin did score a power play goal in that game as well. The Edmonton Oilers lost that game on special teams. They just did. And at the same breath, or in the same breath, they just gave nothing, despite scoring four goals, to really signify that they had any sort of horse in this race against the Washington Capitals. The Edmonton Oilers had zero flow from the start of the game. No flow. They could not get anything, and the starting goaltender was a dude named Charlie. And all the Edmonton Oilers had to do was get shots on him. And they couldn't do that. Outshot again in another game. In a game that they shouldn't be outshot in. Against a team that has had over 60 games, man games played. Man game loss. Because that is how many injuries the Washington Capitals have had. And now the Edmonton Oilers seem to always, as they seemingly do, slip to the playing level of their opponents and allow the Washington Capitals to crack their four-game losing streak of their own. And now the Edmonton Oilers have to go into Tampa Bay with nothing to go on. Who do you start? Do you start Jack Campbell, who has been far from who they thought they were signing? You're not going to start, I guess, Stuart Skinner two games in a row. So that's going to have to be the goalie that you go with. And then what if he doesn't do well? What if he has to get pulled in that game? Do you now trust Stuart Skinner? Do you put that game on Stuart Skinner? There were some of those goals where I'm sitting there going, Stewie should have had that. Stewie should have been over. Stewie was a step behind in that game. Now the Edmonton Oilers are one game away from being 500 on the season, 14 games in the middle of their toughest swing of the season. Where do you go? What is the issue? Are you just in a slide? Or is there something more to look at here for the Oilers? We'll talk about that penalty kill, because that is something that needs to get some sort of help in, because that has been just abysmal. We'll talk about that in more depth in the second segment of today's show. But the Edmonton Oilers, especially against those Washington Capitals, just got nothing going. There was no sustained forecheck. The Edmonton Oilers really had one good forechecking shift, and it was from their third line. And other than that, their bottom six did nothing. Nothing. If it wasn't for Connor McDavid, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, and Leon Draisaitl, and Zach Hyman, who had to assist, the Edmonton Oilers would be nowhere. Nowhere. The bottom six did nothing. Nothing. The Edmonton Oilers don't have a right wing outside of... You know what? The Edmonton Oilers don't have a right winger. Kyler Yamamoto is playing on the fourth line. He played, let me check my notes, 6 minutes and 49 seconds in that game. And then on top of it, Jesse Puljujärvi starts on the first line and doesn't even finish there. So what is going on? It's outside of Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, and Zach Hyman. I just don't know. The defense is invisible. I don't know why Ryan Murray was playing that game at all. I have no idea why. As Marcus Niemelainen sits, sure, maybe he had a tough one against New Jersey, but that was two games ago. You're going to sit him, why not against New Jersey? Now you go up, or Dallas. Now you go up against the Washington Capitals in a game where Washington ran over the Edmonton Oilers. I mean, there's a gif going around of, I think it was Evgeny Kuznetsov, running over Evander Kane. The Edmonton Oilers were outworked, outhit, outshot, out special teamed, out everything in that game. They had no chance whatsoever in that game. And if that's not only the first game of the road trip, but the first game of a back-to-back against a team who has gone to the Stanley Cup Finals three times in a row, who has won it twice out of those three times, and is just coming out of the last Stanley Cup Final as the runner-ups, and is one of the better teams in the league. Oh, and by the way, they have the best goalie in the league as well, in Andre Vasilevsky. Yes, you may, if you're from New York, you may say Igor's better, whatever. This is the most important strip of the Edmonton Oilers season. And I'll tell you what. I'm not looking forward to the game against the Lightning. I'm not looking forward to this road trip at all. If that is the effort that the Edmonton Oilers are going to put out on a nightly basis on this road trip, well, I wonder how good Connor Bedard would look in orange and blue. Let's get into the penalty kill for the Edmonton Oilers, as that was just a tipping point for the Edmonton Oilers. Genuinely decade of darkness type numbers coming from the Edmonton Oilers penalty kill right now. And it scares me. We will get into that in just a second. But first, I want to tell you about our partners over at Simply Safe. Did you know that over the holidays, property crimes like burglaries and package thefts spike nationally? That's why our friends at Simply Safe Home Security are offering 50% off their award-winning security system so that more families can feel safe and secure this holiday season. Order your Simply Safe system for half off today and enjoy advanced security and greater peace of mind this holiday season. In case of emergency, 24/7 professional monitoring agents use Fast Protect technology exclusively from SimpliSafe to capture critical evidence and verify the threat that verify the threat is real, so you can get priority police response. The 24/7 professional monitoring service costs less than $1 a day. That's less than half the price of ADT's traditional, professionally installed system. Plus, with the top-rated SimpliSafe app, stay in complete control of your system anytime, anywhere. Arm or disarm, unlock for a guest, access your cameras, or adjust the system settings. You can do it all with the SimpliSafe app. Don't miss your chance to save big on the only security system I recommend. Get 50% off any new SimpliSafe system at simplisafe.com/lockedonNHL. This is their biggest discount of the year, so don't wait. That's simplisafe.com/lockedonNHL. There's no safe like SimpliSafe. Alrighty, as I reach over for my notes for the worst penalty kill in the league. Actually, that's not true. The only two teams that are worse than the Edmonton Oilers on the penalty kill are the Anaheim Ducks and the Vancouver Canucks. I'll let that sink in. The only two teams with a worse penalty kill than the Edmonton Oilers in the entire league, not in the Western Conference, not in the Pacific Division, in the entire NHL, the only two teams with a worse penalty kill are the Anaheim Ducks and the Vancouver Canucks. The Edmonton Oilers have a penalty kill of 67.9%. 30th in the league. I'm not one for I told you so's, and that is why I'm prefacing this next statement with that. But my biggest issue, and I'm not saying that this is an I told you so, because I hate it. But my biggest issue for the Edmonton Oilers heading into this season, I mentioned, and I had people going, oh, you can't say the Oilers' defense isn't a worry if you I know. I said that the biggest worry for the Edmonton Oilers this year, heading into this year, was that the Edmonton Oilers didn't have any real penalty killers outside of Ryan McLeod, maybe Devon Shore. I mean, you got your defensemen like Cody Ceci and Darnell Nurse, but that's one unit. Now you're seeing Tyson Barrie get absolutely victimized every time he's put into a defensive situation. Evan Bouchard has not matured to the point where he can be trusted on the penalty kill. And we keep flip-flopping between Ryan Murray and Marcus Niemelainen. So there's no consistency on that unit. Brett Kulak has been very mediocre so far this year. And so what does that lead you? Where does that leave you? Okay, you're going to have Ryan McLeod on the penalty kill. You're going to have Devon Shore and Derek Ryan. And then who? Tyler Yamamoto, as I've already mentioned, played 6 minutes and 49 seconds. Yes, Puljujärvi's not going to kill penalties. And Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl aren't going to kill penalties. Zach Hyman has killed penalties and done well. But where's the unit? What is the unit? We mention all these names-ish, but they can't come together? In the last five games, the Edmonton Oilers have shut out the other team's power play twice so far in those five games. Once against Calgary, which they won. Once against New Jersey, where New Jersey won in 7 seconds. A game where the Edmonton Oilers relatively dominated. And in those other two games, Nashville scored on both of those power plays that they were given. Dallas went 2-for-3 on the power play. And then the Washington Capitals went 4-for-5, excuse me. I'm sorry? The Edmonton Oilers have the second best power play in the league, and then you take a look at their penalty kill, and they have the third worst. I'm sitting here almost at a loss for words, wondering what can be done other than bringing in a defensive-ish, a penalty killer. But the only way you're going to find that is with a trade, and that means you have to move an asset, and with an asset leaving, that means, you got to find space for a player in the team. And if you're trading for a penalty killer who's probably going to be a bottom six guy, you're probably trading a sixth-round pick, seventh-round pick for him, so you're not going to trade a guy who's on the team already. So what are you going to do? Somebody has to drop out of the team, and who are you willing to drop out? Tyler Yamamoto? No. Derek Ryan? No, because he kills penalties and at times have been the best bottom six player for the Oilers. Not going to drop Ryan McLeod. You're not going to drop Devin. Well, you can drop Devin Shore if you want. But even he kills penalties and is one of the better penalty killers for the Oilers. So what do you do? Dylan Holloway, and I'm going to get to the times of some of these players here, but Dylan Holloway played the least amount of minutes for the Edmonton Oilers when Ken Holland specifically said at the start of the season that if Dylan Holloway is not going to take up a roster spot if he's not playing. Is he playing? Is Dylan Holloway playing? No. So maybe you can take Dylan Holloway out of the equation, send him down, get him more minutes in the AHL, but then what type of message is that sent? Then on top of it, you're expecting at some point Phil Broberg to come up, and then you got another roster move. Then you got to worry about the cap. This is a massive issue for the Oilers. I don't have a solution. There are people who get paid very good money to have that solution. And for right now, a team who was supposed to be a cup favorite looks not very good. I'm getting texts from friends asking me, are the Edmonton Oilers mid? Are they not the team we thought they were? The Edmonton Oilers, I should have looked this up before we came on, but the Edmonton Oilers haven't had a penalty kill that bad than genuinely the Decade of Darkness days. Back when, Keith Ali was on the Edmonton Oilers penalty kill. I'm sure Dennis Grabishkov may have had his mitts on that. Andy Sutton, anybody? Sorry. It's awful. It's awful. And this is not a recipe that is going to win anything for the Edmonton Oilers. A game, a period, a Stanley Cup. Again, 1-for-4 against, or 1-for-5, excuse me, against Washington because Kuznetsov got the goal late. 1-for-3 against Dallas. 3-for-3 against New Jersey, who doesn't really have a fantastic power play to begin with. 0-for-2 against Nashville. And 3-for-3 against the Calgary Flames, who are still trying to figure out their power play in general. Coming up, the Edmonton Oilers have the Tampa Bay Lightning, who is obviously fantastic. They have the Carolina Hurricanes, who's going to be in the Stanley Cup final. I see no good days for the Edmonton Oilers coming up at all, especially on that penalty. I don't know. I normally come into these things with some sort of answer or solution, and my headband is getting all over the place because I my eyebrows are up. I feel as useless as the Edmonton Oilers penalty kill right now, because there's no answers. There's nobody there. There's no hope for the Edmonton Oilers penalty kill. Because to start the year, Stuart Skinner and Jack Campbell were sitting there making that penalty kill look better than it actually is. Jeff Carter. I almost called him Jeff Carter. Jack Campbell has made saves when he needed to and has made that penalty kill look better than it should. Stuart Skinner, I have mentioned the reason why I wanted him starting more was because when he was in those penalty killing situations, he went bop, 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 bop. He was facing a shot, square up to a shot, square up to the next shot, and made those shots look easier than they actually were. And now we're going up against, now we're seeing the Edmonton Oilers go up against better competition, better power plays, better teams. And we're seeing what's wrong with the Oilers. And it includes the penalty. It's a sad realization. It's a sad thing, really, because you sit there and it's almost a helpless feeling going, what can I do? And it truly... It's up to the Oilers to figure that out. Let me know what you think the Oilers can do with the penalty kill, because I'm genuinely lost here. I don't know what can be done. You're not going to put McDavid out there. Leon Draisaitl isn't going to be out there other than maybe a faceoff or late in the power play or the penalty kill. So I don't know. But please, let me know what you think about the Edmonton Oilers penalty kill, because I need answers. I need answers. Let's get into the good, the bad, and the ugly from that, well, frankly, ugly game against the Washington Capitals. We will get to that in just a second. But first, I want to thank you for making Locked On Oilers your first listen today. Now for your second listen, make sure you tune in to Game to Game NHL. Every moment, every top performance, every result, with local analysis that only Locked On can deliver. Follow Game to Game on Locked On NHL, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you find your podcasts. Alrighty, let's get into the good, the bad, and the ugly from last night's game against the Washington Capitals is, I could have put a lot of things under the bad and the ugly, but we will get to that. Let's start off with some positive. The good. Do I really have to say them? Do I have to say them? The two best players in the world, Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. Leon Draisaitl with a big goal for the Oilers in that game. Connor McDavid also getting a big goal in that game, as they really made a bright spot of a very ugly game. More specifically, Connor McDavid, but you got to rope in Leon Draisaitl, who was just, again, fantastic with the puck once again, really driving the offense for the Edmonton Oilers. May not have gotten the points on a couple of the goals that he may have should have, but again, Leon Draisaitl, Connor McDavid, the one good or two good things, I guess, from that game against the almost said Colorado Avalanche. Old habits die hard. The Washington Capitals. The bad. This is where I'm going to talk about that bottom six. The bad was the bottom six. Let me read off the playing times or the time on ice for the bottom six for you. Ryan McLeod played the most of the bottom six, which makes sense, of 13 minutes and 59 seconds. Derek Ryan had the second most with 12 minutes and 50 seconds. Warren Fogle had the third most with 10 minutes and 36 seconds. Devin Shore with the fourth most with 9 minutes and 59 seconds. Kyler Yamamoto with the second least amount of minutes on the Edmonton Oilers forwards with a whopping 6 minutes and 49 seconds. And Dylan Holloway with the least amount of minutes amongst all the players on the Edmonton Oilers, amongst all the forwards, amongst the bottom six. 6 minutes and 5 seconds. That bottom six had one good shift all game. Ryan McLeod got unlucky with his penalty. I think that was an awful, awful call on him and Kuznetsov. Kuznetsov should have had the only penalty in that one, and yet here we are. That's not good enough. In games where you have to have everybody rolling, and that is basically every game, especially with the current form of the Edmonton Oilers, that's not good enough. You can't look at the score sheet anymore with the type of players that the Edmonton Oilers have and have all the goals read Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, Connor McDavid, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, Leon Draisaitl. And you can't expect to win that way either. Warren Fogle with one of the dumbest giveaways I've ever seen in my life. Even I made a better play. Well, no, that's really saying better is probably not the right word to say. But I made a dumb play in my ball hockey game yesterday. And it still wasn't as dumb as that. Nonchalant with the ball, nonchalant with the puck. You know what I'm saying. Not good. Warren Fogle just gave you nothing all game. Bad passes just to the middle of nowhere, hitting sticks. The only good thing that he did was recuperate from his own problems, his own mistakes. That was all Warren Fogle did, was recover from the bad thing he did. Derek Ryan... You know what you're getting out of Derek Ryan. You can't say anything out of him. Kyler Yamamoto playing 6 minutes and 49 seconds is inexcusable. Especially for a guy who expects to play top 6 minutes. Especially for a guy who lost his spot to a guy who eventually lost his spot at the end of the game in Jesse Puljujärvi. And it wasn't even Kyler Yamamoto who took the spot of the guy who lost his spot. It was just another player who was going out there and producing for the Oilers already in the top six. I don't know. And the fact that Devin Shore is playing almost 3 minutes, almost 4 minutes more than Dylan Holloway is disgusting. I think that tells a story for the Edmonton Oilers in that game there. The bottom six for the Edmonton Oilers. And the ugly, I won't go over it much more because I already have, but that penalty kill. 1 for 5 on the penalty kill for the Edmonton Oilers. Wasn't good. It wasn't good, and the Edmonton Oilers need to get better heading into their game against the Tampa Bay Lightning on Tuesday. Alrighty, a quick recap of the good, the bad, and the ugly from the game against the Washington Capitals. The good, Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, of course. The bad, the bottom six, and the ugly, the penalty killing. Let's wrap it up there, because I am not happy at all. I'm not happy at all. And it just, again, feels like an old man yells at clown. And I am only 25, so I can't be that old yet. Let's wrap it up there. Thank you so much for making Locked On Oilers your first listen today. Also, for your second listen, make sure you tune in to Locked On Sports Today. The biggest stories of the day, plus instant reactions, big game recaps, and the take of the day. Available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you find your podcast. You will find us later, well, after the Edmonton Oilers game against the Tampa Bay Lightning on Tuesday, as we will have a full recap from that game. I'm praying that it is going to be better than that one. Let's have a wonderful day today leading up to the 5:30 puck drop against the Tampa Bay Lightning and put this 5-4 loss behind us. All the best to you. Enjoy the day. And hopefully at the end of tonight, we can, at the end of the Tampa Bay game, we can play La Bamba, baby.